morning, everyone.
Good morning, Diane.
Welcome to church. We trust that both those of you here and at home will be encouraged by today's time together in worship, prayer, teaching and fellowship. A special welcome to our young people this morning. My name is Diane Bastable and I'll be leading today's service. Others involved in this morning are Fiona, who will lead us in prayers, and the music team today are Adele on keyboard and Rosemary and Young Land being our song leaders. And later this morning, Max will be reading our Bible passage. Our mission focus for October is ministry with refugees, especially the Blair family and the work they're doing, and also Anglicare Prison Chaplaincy. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life in living God's way according to his word. We invite you to know God with us. Let me open in prayer. Loving God, we ask that you will still our minds, open our hearts, and lead us to understand you and ourselves better. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to open today with the song that we learnt last week, Alive. Please stand.
Jesus, help.
please take a seat. Trevor, would you like to tell us today about your teaching from Ephesians?
Thank you, will do. Thanks, Diane. Well, welcome, everyone. Good to see you. If you're visiting us today, my name's the Reverend Trevor Young, the Senior Minister here, and we've been doing a Bible teaching time through Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, to Ephesians. And today we're looking at chapter 2, verses 12 through to 22. And last week, you remember, Paul reminded the church what we once were. And as that last song just reminded us, we were once dead in our transgressions and sin, but God has made us alive with Christ by the person and work of Jesus. It's by grace, God's enabling, God's gift, by which we are saved from God's wrath. And we ought to be truly thankful and live accordingly. And today, Paul starts to talk about, well, how do we live accordingly in the family of God, the church? How do we go about accepting one another and all of that? And the kids in Kids Church today, I understand, are looking at starting a little sermon, little Bible teaching through the gospel and starting off looking at who Jesus is.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, it's time for the Kids Church people to leave, so I'll pray for them as they start to move out. Almighty God, we thank you for the children you have brought here, and we humbly ask that this morning they can continue to learn about how you see them and the great love you have for them. Guide the Kids Church leaders well to reveal your truths clearly and open the children's hearts to receive your message and respond with repentance and adoration. Amen. As they head out, just turn around and say hi to people around you. I love Sundays. Seeing all these faces, brilliant. Okay, we've come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. I'll just pray for us before we hear from God's word. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Max is going to come up and read today's passage for us.
Good morning, everyone. I wish you have a lovely day, and so we'll now pray to the Lord. Today's reading is from Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and call uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law which is commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, those making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become the holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, please leave your Bibles open there at that chapter, or in your handouts. You should have a printout as well. Turn with me to that now so you can follow along with me in the Bible passage that's there. Gracious God, as Diane has prayed, we do pray that you'll help me to teach your word correctly and that we'll experience your Spirit guiding us into truth and knowing how to apply it to our lives as Christians today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through to 20, let me just go back. We'll go forward. I'll go forward here. Here we go. Just chapter 2, verses 12 through to 22, and the title is The People of God Together. And as I mentioned in the little introduction, Paul here has introduced what we once were and what we are now as God's people. We have every spiritual blessing that is in Christ Jesus. Not just some, but every spiritual blessing. We're not ripped off by God. Being in a relationship with God is the best thing anyone could possibly do. It's the best thing you have ever done. And it's good seeing you nod as you say, yes, amen, being a person of God, of one of his family. And then Paul reminded the church of how precious that is. Sometimes we as Christians can sometimes think it's by how good a life we live. That certainly was the thought that I had as I was growing up. That was how good a life I lived. I was a good boy. I always thought that's why God loved me. That's why God sent his son into the world. That's why Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. And it was during confirmation classes that I recalled from God's word that no, I was not a good boy. In fact, none of us are good enough. In fact, if I was good enough, there would be no need for God to have sent his son Jesus into the world to do what he did. If I could somehow make myself a friend with God and atone for my sin. And so Paul is reminding the church of this, how precious it is, how gifted it is, how privileged we are that God in his kindness, in his love, in his mercy has showered his grace, his gift, his enabling upon us and chosen that though we were deserving of God's wrath to save us from that by he himself in Jesus living and dying on a cross and rising again for our sin to bring us peace, to bring us that reconciliation with God that we can now say we are friends with God. It's not by works that we have done, nor works after we've been a Christian that we think we keep doing that has saved us. No, it is the work of Jesus alone we are saved. How do we live in response to that? Well, With the Spirit's help, Paul says, he helps us to make us more and more like Jesus. And that's sanctification. Sanctification doesn't save us. Salvation saves us. Sanctification is something that we do as a result of being saved by God. And so Paul begins to talk about this sanctification process. He starts to talk about, well, what does it look like? What kind of a way can we prove that we are right with God in the way in which we behave together? And so we come to chapter 2, verses 11 through to 22, the people of God. Let me begin by just giving you an illustration just to place the significance of the situation in its context. Have you ever found yourself in a difficult, have you ever found it difficult to break into and feel accepted by a group? You've been invited, for example, to a function and you're sitting there at the table and the only person you know is the friend who has invited you. Everyone, apart from them, are strangers to you. And despite the friendly smiles, respectful greetings, you feel a foreigner, an alien, out of place. The making of conversation doesn't come easy. Then, in the awkwardness of the occasion, a person at the table gives you their full attention and appears to be interested in you, asking questions about you, your family, what you do, your interests, your hobbies, and how you know your friend who has invited you to the function. Then they continue to talk about their association with your friend, and you begin to realize that the two of you have a common unity in the person that has invited you. This person then turns to the others at the table, interrupts the assortment of conversations going on, and introduces you to them all at the table. They explain your connection with your common friend, and the table bursts into welcome excitement, your friend endorsing the common unity. Whereas once everyone at the table, apart from your friend, were strangers to you, and despite the friendly smiles, respectful greetings, you felt a foreigner and an alien out of place, you now felt an accepted member of the group. Has that happened to you? Not living at the time, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus. We can't actually appreciate, when he actually wrote this letter, we can't appreciate, let alone fully understand, the sharp, hostile separation culturally and religiously that existed between Jews and those who were not Gentiles. In the Jerusalem temple at the time, there was even a wall to which notices in Greek and Latin were affixed, warning all Gentiles not to pass beyond it on pain of death. Unfortunately, in my time of ministry, I've heard, thankfully, not too often, that has been the welcoming reception of some visitors as they approach the doors of some churches in Sydney and around the world. Certainly never here, I pray. But such was the sharp, hostile separation culturally and religiously between Jews and those who were not Gentiles at the time Paul wrote this letter. Many Jews who'd become Christians found it very difficult to welcome the Gentile Christian. And many Gentile Christians, because of the many years of enforced separation between Jew and Gentile, found it equally difficult to welcome the Jew who was now a fellow believer, a Christian. When we explain it as such, I think we can somewhat understand the difficulty both experienced breaking into and being accepted by the other. How awkward it was around the table of fellowship when one met for church. in Paul's time. But it's Paul, the Jew that we read here, the once persecutor of Christians and receiver of persecution himself at the hands of Jews for becoming a Christian, who takes the initiative at the table of fellowship to welcome amongst his fellow Jewish Christians the Gentile Christians by making known the common unity both have in their common friend, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Look there at verse 12. Though once separated from Christ, he speaks to the Gentile Christians, with the Jewish Christians reading and listening, excluded from citizenship with Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What does Paul mean? By the person and work of Christ at the cross. For he himself is our peace, Paul goes on, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh, that is, his person and work, the law with its commands and regulations, by him fulfilling it himself. There is now no barrier, no constructed separation between the two groups, both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, nor are they to be justified to be created. No more barriers between the two. For God's purpose is threefold, and we read on, to bring about and sustain peace with God and with each other, between all who profess to be Christian, whether once Jew or Gentile. Look there at verse 15. To create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. The second thing is to reassure both and to reassure us. We have equal access to God the Father, both Jew and Gentile, Christian, in fellowship and in prayer and in worship together. For we equally share in God's Spirit who dwells equally in us. For we say when we meet together, don't we? We are the body of Christ. And your response is, for his Spirit is with us. Look there at verse 18. Through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. God in all his fullness, Jesus in all his fullness, dwells in you individually in all his fullness and corporately in us in all his fullness. As God now looks upon us as we see, as seeing Jesus, we too should look to each other as seeing Jesus too. Thirdly, consequently, as they looked around at each other at the table of fellowship, both Jew and Gentile in Paul's day, now who have become Christians, and as we look around at each other here at the table of fellowship called the church together, look there at verse 19. We are no longer to perceive ourselves as foreigners, strangers to God or to each other, but fellow citizens with all God's people, members of God's household, members of God's one family. one in Christ. And built now, verse 20 there, being taught, being encouraged, and encouraged to grow in maturity on the foundations of the apostles, the teachings of those who were Christ's witnesses. Remember that we might be certain of the things we have been taught. And on the prophets as well, the Jewish ears pricking up. Yes, on the Old Testament too, the writings of the Old Testament prophets. In other words, built up, encouraged, maturing, being made more and more like Jesus individually and corporately by the teaching of the Bible as God guides us by his Spirit. With the reminder, always, that Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone, the foundation stone upon which we stand and build. He is our common friend. He is the one who has invited us, remember, made us alive, both of us, Jew and Gentile, all of us, to take a fellowship with God and with each other, with whom and in whom we have our common unity, our holy communion. Joined together by God, we are, verses 21 and 22, being built into a holy temple in the Lord, a people, a place in which God dwells and lives by his Spirit, and all who call themselves Christians find acceptance and welcome and live accordingly by such a name. We have no need to feel strangers and aliens amongst ourselves, for we are one in Christ. Jesus is our common unity, the one who is our holy communion. We are the body of Christ, one body. The Spirit is with us. We welcome one another. We accept one another. This is one and part of how we live in the family in response to God's mercy, kindness, and love. And I would have it no other way either. And I'm sure you wouldn't either. You would either. Let me pray. Father, we praise you. We praise you indeed for sending Jesus Christ to preach, to make known in his life and death and resurrection and glorious ascension, preaching to us the eternal peace that comes from being right with you through Jesus on the grounds of his death. We thank you for creating a new humanity, your holy nation, your family, and your temple in which your Spirit dwells within. Thank you that whether Jew or Gentile, we have been made one people together in Christ, with access by one Spirit to you, the one God and Father of all. Help us to live up to this calling through Jesus Christ our Lord and common friend. Amen. Amen.
Okay, please stand as we affirm our faith together. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Take a seat. We'll also say together Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Amen. Right, this next song, of course, is going to remind us of the message that we've just heard in Trevor's sermon. Oh, how good it is. It's when the family of God dwells together. Please stand and join in together.
Thank you.
Please sit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
O Lord God, Father of mercies, the fountain of comfort and blessing, of life and peace, of plenty and pardon, who fills heaven with your joy and earth with your goodness, we give you the most earnest, the most humble and most enlarged return of our thanks and glad heart, for you have refreshed us with your comforts and enlarged us with your blessings. You have made our flesh and bones to rejoice, for beside the blessings of all mankind, the blessings of nature and the blessings of grace, the support of every minute and the comforts of every day, you have opened your heart, and at this time you have poured out an excellent expression of your loving kindness. For this we thank and praise you. Amen. God of love, make your way known to the people of our world, your saving power among all nations. Guide and govern your church by your Holy Spirit, so that all who call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted or distressed in body, mind, or spirit. Thinking of Linda with her surgery on Tuesday, we pray for your mercy on her and bring others now silently in our hearts into your presence. Please, Father, relieve them according to your needs, giving them patience in their sufferings and deliverance from their afflictions. This we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you and praise you for the Blairs, for their desire to be faithful witnesses of our Lord Jesus to refugees. Thank you that you care for their every need, big or small. Thank you for their creativity in sharing with others about Jesus. As a family, may they strive to keep loving each other well, encouraging each other to use wisely the gifts you've given them so that they will build up the body of Christ and enjoy the freedom that only comes to those who put their trust in Jesus. And we pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, you know all the Anglicare prison chaplains. We beg that your Holy Spirit would enable them to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. In a system where there is such a huge power imbalance, may they serve with humility both staff and inmates. Through the chaplains, we long that many in that system would experience your unconditional love and know that for everyone, regardless of their past, that there is hope. Father, we ask that the chaplains would maintain a good work-life balance. May they grow in their dependence on you and their love for you. Apart from Jesus, they can do nothing. Thank you that with Jesus all things are possible. Holy Spirit, please fill them with the gifts of discernment and perseverance. And we pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. As you once said, Lord Jesus, the poor are always with us, overseas and in our land, in crowded refugee camps and sleeping on our city streets. The poor, your much-loved poor. Some are poor by choice, some by their foolishness, some by calamity, and many because of the greed of the rich and the indifference of the comfortable. Christ, have mercy on us all. Give us the political will and know-how to lessen the injustices that perpetuate poverty. Bless the efforts of the religious and secular agencies that reach out with disciplined compassion. Prompt each of us to do whatever seems possible, and then to prayerfully consider what more can be done. In the meantime, while we are now praying, touch the lives of your children who are in poverty with blessings which the rich cannot know. For your love's sake. Amen. Loving Father, we pray for our new king, Prince King Charles III. Father, thank you that you are the source of wisdom and knowledge, and we long that he would depend on you for how to govern well, for how to live his own life, and for how to be a blessing to many nations of the world. We give thanks for him and for his representatives, and we pray, Lord, also for our leaders here in Australia, federal, state, and pray that there would be a working for the common good. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would protect those who need protection, and that those in positions of power would use their power wisely and in ways that you are pleased with. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our set prayer for today is praying for forgiveness through the grace of Jesus Christ. So I invite you to join with me in praying this together. Father, through the obedience of Jesus, your servant and your son, you raised a fallen world. Free us from sin and bring us the joy that lasts forever. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. Next Saturday is the ladies' breakfast at 8 a.m. And I've been asked to remind you that if you've already paid, you're welcome. We'd like to see you there. If you haven't paid, then that's something that you can catch up on. And if you just turn up on Saturday, that's also fine. So all welcome, just turn up. So I look forward to seeing as many of you there as possible, if you're a lady. I don't know, does that mean I can't go? Anyway. Oh, good, good, good. Last week we had a survey form to fill out. So last week, many of us were here and able to fill this form out. Just to give a few ideas and a response to some questions there about what you'd like to see included next year for the planning. So if you haven't had the chance yet, I think you do have a form given to you today. Just spend a couple of minutes now filling that out. And the rest of us can be thinking and praying about the sorts of things that we've already written down, and maybe is there anything else that's come to mind in the last week? So just mention that to Trevor at the end of the service and he'd love to know, get those thoughts or write it down. Actually, writing it down would be good, because if you just tell him a lot of stuff, I know if it's like me. What was that? I know they said something.
That's right.
When you're finished, there is a box at the back near the offertory box. There's a red box beside that. Just put it in there when you're leaving today. That would be great. Okay, next Sunday is the Lord's Supper, so come with a heart ready for that. Do you want to share anything with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Diane. Just a few more announcements. Each quarterly, we do get a handout that go on the back table up there. And one is the Southern Cross, which comes out monthly. It's a great magazine to take home and actually read it. We can do it online as well through the website, front page, just click on it and you can read it online if you don't collect one as you go out. But just helps us to realise that we're not the only Anglican church. You know, there's a lot happening in our diocese and throughout the world in the church. And so it's good read just to sit down on a Sunday afternoon and bring ourselves up to speed with what else is happening, not only in our local Anglican churches around, but throughout Sydney, Australia and the world. The other one that goes out quarterly, The Voice of the Martyrs, and that's on the back table as well. I know this is dear to a couple of you, and I hear that in your prayers as you pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. We are very fortunate in Australia that we're not persecuted as many people are in the world for believing in Jesus. But this also helps us, this little magazine, to help us to look beyond our own situation and to give us thoughts for prayer in praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. The Anglican Church and the Diocese of Sydney also seeks to help those less fortunate ourselves in places like Africa and particular through Anglican Aid. This too is a quarterly little magazine that's on the back page that helps us to remind us of what activities the Anglican Church is doing to support the basic needs of people in places like Africa and how we can support them. So again, I bring these to your attention, what's on the back table to read. And as you leave today, you'll collect one of these from me if you've not already got one or if you've already taken it from the table at the back of the church. Thanks, Diane.
Thank you. And as lives can be quite complicated, there are sometimes issues that arise and unsettle us. If you need prayer at the moment for any issue, at the end of church today, there'll be two wonderful people, Fiona and Dick, who'll sit at the front here and lead you and pray for you. And yes, thank you for the regular giving. Many of you are now giving online, which is fantastic, but if you are unable to do that or choose not to, there is a box at the back for offertory, and we thank you for your generosity there. And at the end of your pew, there is an envelope, which is our local current mission focus on the Blairs. So if you'd like to consider donating for their work as well, that would be fantastic. They all go in the offertory box at the back. And after church, morning tea outside. Looks like a beautiful day, wonderful. And if you're new here today, it'd be lovely for you to come out and meet a few of us. Introduce yourself, don't be shy. We're very welcoming. For those of you who've been here forever, I know you'll look out for those people. But thank you for considering COVID safety, keeping distance outside, getting your tea, coffee out, chat outside in the lovely, open, fresh, sunny air. Okay. We're going to just be reminded of who Jesus is and what he's done for us in a sentence of scripture for today. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's our unifying thought, isn't it? And our final song is Your Grace is Strong Enough. And it reminds us of what we've been taught about God's gift. So thank you. Stand for this song.
Grace rang out the nation.
Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.